Billy?
Yes.
You're standing in front of your dishwasher. We're waiting for Peter King to join us because the two of you have a passion for doing dishes. Mikey A, I feel like he feels a little bit left out here because Mikey A is actually, well, was a professional. Well, go ahead, Mikey. You explain it.
You and Peter are going to have a wonderful conversation about washing the dishes, and I'm the only one who's done it professionally. Dad has owned restaurants my entire life, and you know, I spent many a summer morning, you know, going to work with him and learning how to wash the dishes. And I got to say, Billy, you know what you're doing. You know, like it's.
Wow,
it's,
thank you.
I don't think you could go pro, but I mean, you're definitely, you know,
amateur.
High A ball.
Yeah. I'll take that.
Really? Are you the guy who determines whether or not they can go to the pros?
I got the eye.
I think Peter King has the eye. I think Peter King fancies himself as a person who has the eye.
You could be good at writing football. You could be good at noticing who can wash good dishes. And Peter King can't get both.
Could I go pro like in Europe, maybe?
Maybe in Canada. The Baltics. Maybe in the Baltics.
I'll take it, man.
CFL. Pro in Europe. You love doing dishes. Peter King loves doing dishes. Do you guys actually expect Peter King to be in front of his dishwasher doing and the sink the way Billy is right now? Do you imagine him, like when he shows up here, do you think he's going to be in front of the dishwasher or what do you think?
I hope he is. Yeah.
I mean,
we'll see.
Otherwise, it's a little weird if you're the only one, Billy.
Yeah.
All right. This is 3 weeks in the making. Peter King and Billy, last time Peter was on, Peter said he loves to do dishes. Billy said he too loves to do dishes. So we decided playoff dishes. We'll do dishes together and we'll have a football discussion with Peter King while they are both doing dishes. But my sense is and my hope is that Billy will be doing dishes by himself. Let's get to Peter King and Billy Gill doing dishes together, talking football. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. For me, it is simple. What I want out of my light beer is ice cold and great taste, and that's exactly what I get from the original light beer, Miller Lite. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most, a light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Stu, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop, opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
Hello.
Hello.
I mean, Billy is Billy's ready to do dishes, Peter. I mean,
hello, you're doing dishes. That's good. That's what I like to hear.
Fully committed to the bit.
I guess I should have done that. I didn't even think about it.
Huh. No, it's okay.
You want to move everything upstairs or where?
I don't think he wants to do that. No.
Would you like to see Billy's technique of doing dishes, Peter King?
No, because I wouldn't learn anything because I am perfect at the dish industry.
Really? Wow. Yeah, I actually think it would be funny if Billy did the dishes and you graded kind of how he was doing said dishes.
Well, one of the big things about doing dishes is that you have to use as little water as possible. So if the water is on full go, he already gets a D-, no matter how good his technique is.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask you that, if we should be turning the water off every time. Like,
no,
every
day, no. Just keep it flowing very slowly. But if you have a big, sink full, you gotta use the dishwasher. That's what the planet says.
Okay. I was asked that too. What are we thinking on this? Are we doing dishwasher? Or are we doing just like regular dishes? Like I'm at your disposal here. Should I do this? I have a different setting on my faucet. I don't know if you see this. I have like a shower type.
That's
I have
nice.
So Peter, we know Billy is conceding that you are the expert. Okay.
Yeah.
You're trying to learn no one better at washing the dishes
just
than
know
you.
That I've been doing them one way for 40 years. So
right. Yes, but he's looking for advice on this front. That's what he's looking for.
Well, just keep the water on very light, and if you've got a lot of dishes, load the dishwasher and except in extreme circumstances, you do not have to rinse the dishes off before you start the dishwasher.
Oh,
a good dishwasher is going to get all of the horse crap off the dishes.
Now, when it comes to dishwashers, do you use the liquid or do you use like the pod?
No, we use the pod.
Okay, I do too. I wasn't certain on that. I've read things that plastic then gets stuck to your plates and stuff, but we use the pods as well.
No,
so I got to take off my ring and I got to take
off.
Okay, well, I'm just asking. I don't know.
He takes his dishes very seriously.
Do you take off rings and really?
No.
Okay.
No.
Have you ever lost a wedding ring or no?
No.
No?
Never.
Okay.
He's an
I'm
expert.
Worried
this,
about that.
This ring right here, it's been on. Wait a minute. Can you see it?
Yep.
Yeah.
That ring has been on this finger. Now, I must say, in really cold weather, you know, sometimes just for fun, I, you know, fool around with it and it comes off because I don't know why, but anyway, no, that has been on for 43 years and 7 months.
Wow. Congratulations.
Okay. Thank you.
What's the key to a successful, long, great marriage, Peter King? Doing dishes?
Do the dishes, do the laundry, very occasionally, if your wife says, hey, I'll handle this, you go and watch TV. Very occasionally, you go do it.
Many years into the marriage.
The vast majority of the time, you say, no. You've done far too much today. I'll handle this.
But many years into the marriage, right? Many years.
That's the key to a long marriage right there.
What temperature do we go with on the dishes? Do we go with like a warm?
Not scalding hot, but warmer than lukewarm.
As warm as my hands can take. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
You okay there?
Sorry. I've had a cough since Thanksgiving.
Have you really?
You should check that out.
I got a chest x-ray yesterday. I was worried about it, but I don't have anything. But I do have, I mean, this is going to sound dramatic, but it really isn't. I've got a slightly collapsed left lung. So I've got to do these weird exercises, these breathing exercises to make sure that my lung sort of reinflates.
Slightly dramatic. Billy and I don't think I'd show up for work ever again if that happened to me. I mean,
no, it's not a big deal. It's just, you know, the bothersome thing is at 3:30 in the morning, you roll over and you cough a couple of times and then you're awake. Right. At least when you're 66 years old, you are.
Right.
Probably not when you guys can probably sleep till 10. I have not slept till 10 since I was 19 years old. So
you can't get back to sleep, you're saying?
I can never get back to sleep. Once you're awake, you're awake. Yeah, I got a good story about that. You know, I have this thing before the Super Bowl, the week before the Super Bowl, what I like to do in my column. I used to do it in Monday Morning Quarterback. I sort of birthed it there with Doug Peterson, 7 years ago? And I've continued it now at Football Morning in America at NBC. And what I like to do is I like in the dead week that for people to wake up on Monday morning and get something cool. And so they get with me the last, say, 7 years, a ride to work with one of the two Super Bowl coaches before the game.
So cool.
So in this would have been February 2020, I did it with Andy Reid. So this would have been 4 years ago. And on Sunday after the game, they won the AFC championship game. And so I asked him after the game if we could do it. Me and Ted Cruz, their media relations guy, asked Andy, and Andy thought about it and he said, okay. And I said, I can't really do it tomorrow because I'll be working until 4 o'clock in the morning. And then, so I'll probably be asleep, but how about Tuesday morning? He said, okay. And I said, what time? I said, I don't care what time. You just tell me what time. He goes, your hotel is right in my neighborhood. So I'm going to be in the driveway of your hotel at 3:15. And I said, you are insane. I said, I thought Sean McVay was insane a couple of years ago when he said, be at the bottom of my driveway at 4:15. Here's the address. But Andy, I said, 3:15. He said, here's the problem. I get up to go to the bathroom at whatever o'clock it is. And I have tried it before. I go back to bed. I lay down. I can't sleep. I now am totally thinking about the game and whatever it is. So he said, honestly, I'll probably wake up at 2:45, get dressed and go and, wait in your driveway for you to come down at your hotel. I couldn't believe it. So I went down to the lobby. I was down in the lobby at 3:05 a.m. Andy Reid was sitting there.
Wow.
And I just said, you're crazy. And he goes, hey, I'm just telling you, you get to be a little older. And I said, I know. You get to be a little older, you go to the bathroom and you can't fall back to sleep. And I said, that's a problem for me too. But I just thought, the benefit that I have is that I always, always take a nap during the day.
Really?
Yeah, I love naps. Naps are key for me. And I've already had my nap today. But the problem is, on game days now, you can't nap. If I'm in a press box, they don't put a cot out there for me. Maybe I should ask for one.
They might for you, Peter. Seriously. Yeah.
But anyway, they don't put a cot out there for me. So it gets to be, and like, just think of it. On Sunday nights, I was up in a hotel in Buffalo on Sunday night until 3:57 a.m. And that is just a freaking killer because I'm still recovering, as we do this right now.
Right.
And so, but during the week, it is nap central here in Brooklyn, and I absolutely love it. Anyway.
Do you take a nap at the same time every day? And how long is the nap?
Nap is usually 20 to 35 minutes. Now, when I come home every Monday, if I've been on the road and I haven't slept very much, I'll nap for an hour and a half.
Wow.
Because I'm so sleep deprived, I might have only slept 2.5 or 3 hours.
Peter, I want to ask you about the scene. Bill, you're doing a great job with the dishes.
Thank
Peter,
you.
If you have any comments at any point during...
No, I like him. He doesn't slough it off. He's got very good, and I like the fact that he cleans the back of the dish.
Yeah,
because you don't eat off the back of the dish, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to pick up the dish, and maybe there's a little piece of fish or some piece of crap there on the back of the dish, and it's objectionable if you touch something or it's oily or something like that. So, yes, you got to clean both sides of the dish.
Well, and then I'll stack the dish on a clean dish. So if it's dirty, then it'll dirty the clean dish. So.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's amazing. Yeah. I can't believe we're doing this with Peter King, who's very busy. It's a very busy time for him.
I'm not busy. I don't do anything.
You're funny. I want to ask you about the scene in Buffalo, but before we get to that, have you heard, because I keep saying, I have a theory on like Belichick that maybe, just maybe, he's waiting around to see if Andy Reid retires, who wouldn't want to take over and coach Patrick Mahomes, right? And I could be wrong on that, but have you heard anything about Andy Reid and retirement after this season?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to retire.
Okay.
I've heard a lot of people talking about that.
Right.
But I do not think he's going to retire. I can't tell you positively, but I just don't think he's going to. Can I just tell you a story about Sunday and about?
Yes.
Okay. So there are, one of the reasons, quite honestly, that I like to cover Kansas City games is that if I, and I don't abuse this, but if I really need Mahomes, I can get Mahomes.
Right.
All right. After a game. Mm-hmm. But I don't abuse it, maybe twice a year. Okay. But the real, and I, and so I like that because Mahomes is real. He's genuine. He's the best player in football, and he might go down as the best quarterback to ever play. So it's good that he likes the byplay. He's a little bit like Peyton Manning in that Peyton Manning loved to talk about the little things about why a specific play worked. He really, he loved that. And Mahomes loves that too. Mahomes is he's a guy's guy. He just is, he loves football so much and he loves to dedicate himself to football. I was in Frankfurt after the game for NBC and I did an on-field interview with him for NBC. And he was good. It was fine. But afterwards, I went into their locker room. I was doing a few things. And I went over to him and I said, hey, listen, thanks. That means a lot that you would do that. Appreciate it. Because, you know, we didn't carry the game at NBC. Okay. I went over there doing my column for NBC. And they said, hey, while you're over there, see if you can get the winning quarterback, Mahomes or Tua. And so I worked on it a little bit, set the groundwork. But anyway, I thanked him and he said, hey, no problem. He fist bumps and he goes, listen, what I said out there, I meant. I said, yeah. And he goes, we will get this offense fixed. I guarantee you. I promise you we'll get it fixed. I mean, he doesn't have to tell me that, but right. That's – he is, they were crappy on off. Remember that game against the Dolphins?
Oh, yeah.
They win 21-14.
Yeah.
And they only win because Tyreek handed them that touchdown. Remember? And he fumbles. Yes.
And they didn't score in the second half.
Yeah. And so, anyway, but that is one of the things I like about Mahomes, quite honestly, that, you know, it really means something to him. But so this past week, the other reason I like covering them is that I always know. Do you know what Andy Reid wanted to do with his life if he wasn't involved in football?
His backup plan, you mean? No, I have no idea.
He wanted to be a pro football writer for Sports Illustrated.
Wow.
And the first time I ever met him, he was tight ends coach in Green Bay, 1995. And he comes up to me like a little puppy, all excited to meet me, you know, and all that. And what, I'm only like, I don't know, I'm like 36 years old or something. I'm still pretty young. And I can't believe that there's an NFL coach who is excited to meet me. But anyway, he told me that when he was at Brigham Young, he really wanted to be a sports writer and wrote for the school paper. Anyway, so I know that when I see Andy Reid, he knows what I want. He wants an inside story. He knows that I want an inside story about something that happened. Like last year, after the Super Bowl, I had said to him during the week, hey, if we win, me and my videographer, we want to come in and talk to you for no more than 7 minutes. We'll be on the clock. You tell me the big play in the game. If you win the game, you got to tell me how it happened, the genesis of it, everything like that. And he tells me everything.
So good.
About, you know, the winning play. Remember those weird motion plays that Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney had that the Eagles didn't cover?
Yep.
And so anyway, sorry. But so what happened on Sunday, he tells me, first of all, he pulls out his, let me get this. It's not the same color, but you know, these little moleskin notebooks that people use now, and I take notes in them and everything. I don't have my other one here right now, but Andy pulls out this black moleskin notebook and he flips through it and he goes, yeah, I journal. He says, I've been journaling since 11th grade. And he said, today I journal. And in fact, I sort of, you know, on game days, I kind of journal about what I think's going to happen, you know. And today I thought, well, the weather's going to be a factor. It's insanely cold. And the weather's going to be a factor somehow, some way. The wind, somehow the weather will be a factor. And then he said, this game, more than any game, is going to be won on the lines because it's going to be kind of a battle of attrition. You're not maybe able to throw it as well or as often as maybe you would like because of the wind and the cold and everything. So it's got to be like a Pacheco game and all that stuff, you know, like against the Dolphins where Pacheco owned that game, you know. But anyway, so all that happens. He puts that away. And I said, okay, well, give me a play from the game. And he goes, there wasn't. He said, oh, yeah. Yeah, there was a good one. There was a good one. There's a play. He said, we're playing this team that is so, we know each other so well. Even though we're not in the same division, we've played each other 6 times in the last 4 years. So we know each other just like we're in the same division. You know, we've studied each other. We study their offense. They study everything. So he goes, so when you come into a game like this, you really try to find some stuff that you can use. In other words, without saying it, we got to find something to fool them. So Andy Reid this week, last week, put a play in the game plan that he had not used in 7 years. The last time he used it, it was with Alex Smith when he was the quarterback. And it was an Alex Smith to Travis Kelce kind of screen flat pass. And he put it in the game plan for this week. Kelce was excited because he scored a bunch of touchdowns on it with Alex Smith. And he was really, really excited that they were going to do it. And so essentially, that was one of the touchdowns in the second half that won them this game. Yes. That if you're on the Buffalo Bills, you have absolutely no idea when this formation comes out. You can't get a read on this. You haven't seen it because they haven't run it in 7 years. And they ran it from the 3-yard line in the second half of a game they had to have. So that's one of the things, first of all, I like about Andy that he thinks like a writer. Hey, what's interesting?
Yes.
What would be interesting to a writer? But the other thing is, why do you think players love playing for Andy Reid? Because he comes up with all this bull crap all the time that's new or that's different that people haven't seen. And whereas every other team or most other teams, they'll vary stuff, but they don't come up with brand new things that they haven't run in 7 years at the biggest moment of the season.
So good. I could listen I can listen to you tell stories for the rest of time. I mean, I would like to do story time with you. I would. How's Billy doing with the glasses? Glasses are a tricky game when you're doing dishes, you know? You get your hand stuck in them.
You know what I have
found? Oh, now he's doing a pan.
I'll tell you what I found with glasses. Wine glasses are hard. You want to know why? Because if you don't wash every bit of the glass inside and outside, it gets the unsightly spots.
Yeah.
On them, so that when you then pour a nice glass of cab there, you look there, and all of a sudden you see, oh my God, somebody's lipstick is up here, or there's a couple of dots here, water dots, water spots.
Yeah,
you have to be really, really careful when you do wine glasses to be thorough.
Well, the drying too, because if you keep them wet, that's how you get those water spots. That's why when I wash knives, yeah. also, I don't like the knives laying down with water on them, because no, then they'll get that discoloration.
Yeah.
You dry them almost immediately with a towel. I do have a cheat code, Peter. I don't know if you've done this, and I washed this glass already, but I'll show you. So yeah. I have the fortune of having two little children, so I have a bottle cleaner, and then I'll use the bottle cleaner on the glasses. So you push this little button, and then it just spins around.
Oh,
so you
don't even have to
do all that much. You
just kind of
go in. And
listen,
could
I get if I tell you what my birthday is, would you guys buy that for me?
100%
All right, good.
You can we'll buy you more than that, but yes, done. Yes.
when is your birthday?
What is your birthday?
June 10th.
Okay, June 10th. Check out.
We can take that out. We can edit that out, so only we know. If you don't want everyone,
I don't care who knows. Who cares?
Who would care about his birthday?
I don't know. Maybe Peter does. June 10th, Billy. Let's. Someone make a note here. All I did was write down 6/10. That's all I wrote down. Yeah. Someone make a note. We got to send Peter one of those. Okay.
Hey, let's talk about football things. What do you think?
Yes.
Good idea.
Well, I'm wondering, Peter, so you're at the game. You're at the Bills-Kansas City game. First off, did you see Jason Kelce at all? Did you see Taylor Swift? Then we'll get to football.
No. I mean, I saw him on TV, but I didn't see them. And look, Jason Kelce is in, you could tell, he was in his 17-beer mode. So I don't know. You know, let him have his fun. That's what I think.
Okay.
I did talk to Travis a little bit after the game, and we mentioned him, and he said, hey, Great Lakes guys do things like that. Anyway.
Did you feel bad for Buffalo at all? Just that city, the fans, all of them? Yeah.
I feel terrible for them. Yeah. I honestly do, because it is such a great football city. Andy Reid probably talked for 2 minutes after the game about his reverence for that scene on Sunday. And he goes, listen, we don't want to play road playoff games, but I'm just telling you, I'll remember this game.
Wow.
And it was just a very, very cool atmosphere the whole day, obviously. But when I really kind of felt bad and a little bit, I don't want to say afraid, but a little bit like taken aback, is in Buffalo, when you leave the press box to go down to the locker rooms, you have to walk through the crowd. The crowd is leaving the stadium, and you have to walk through them to get to the tunnel to do this. Most places, you either walk downstairs or, you know, you take an elevator and whatever. It's easy. But in this one, you have to walk kind of through the crowd, and that crowd was out for blood. They were pissed off, you know, at the fake punt that DeMar Hamlin didn't make, at the, which was really a stupid call, I thought, because
terrible.
How did you not know? DeMar Hamlin is moving here. He's moving there. He's holding up. He's waiting and everything, looking around. It's the most obvious fake that you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And look, if you want to run a fake there, run a fake there, but at least make it look like a fake.
Right.
And people who've said, oh, they should have just had Josh Allen run the play on 4th and 5. Maybe, but I don't mind running a fake, but just make it look like a fake.
That's right, make it look like a fake. But I do agree with that, Peter. If you're gonna go for it with your best player. Like I do agree with that.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, in retrospect, yeah. But if they had just made it look like a fake, and also Kansas City only had 10 players on the field for that play.
Yep.
I mean, that's it's insane. But the other thing about the crowd after the game is that you understand, and look, I'm not, these are drunk people who have been waiting for this moment for 6 or 8 months. It's unrealistic to suspect rationality to prevail.
Exactly.
You're going to be hugely pissed off, obviously. You know, I'm a Red Sox fan. In 2003, I'm in Yankee Stadium, and Wakefield throws a knuckler that Aaron Boone hits 6 miles, and the Red Sox season is over. And I'm cursing for an hour and a half, all on the way home to my house in New Jersey. I just couldn't stand it. I was with a good friend of mine, and next day he said, "Man, you scared me. You know how you were after the game." And I just said, "I'm sorry. I'm these idiots. I'm done with them." even though I wasn't. And you're not done with them. The people who ran out of the stadium afterwards screaming about Tyler Bass and F the coach and wide right this and all that. It's because they love this team so much. They're not giving up. They're just they're wailing and gnashing their teeth and all that. So anyway, that's my thought.
Week one, they'll be there at 8 a.m. tailgating next year. And you're right about that. What do you like, Sean McDermott? Is he going to survive this? And I only ask that because Bill Belichick is available. That's it.
Yeah, I think he definitely will survive. I think he did a really good job keeping this team together through a lot of weird things that happened down the stretch of the season. You know, the publishing of that by Tyler Dunn of that story where he, he basically told his guys, he kind of held up the guys who crashed the planes on 9/11 as, you know, examples to use for overcoming adversity. You know, he just, as so in other words, I'm not saying that he's cleaning up problems that other people have made. He's also cleaning up one of his own. But anyway, my whole thought is I don't think that they're getting rid of Sean McDermott. I will be shocked, unless it's of his own volition, that they part ways with Sean McDermott.
So what are you hearing on Bill Belichick?
So this is a funny story, at least to me. It's a funny sort of inside baseball story. So Arthur Blank reads my column. And someone who knows Arthur Blank reached out to me Sunday morning and said to me, if you're going to write anything about our coaching situation, we should talk just for a few minutes on background. So I called this person. We talked. We had an interesting conversation, and the message was, listen, this is not in any way telling you anything other than we are wide open. We have not picked a coach. We have not decided on a coach. We don't know who we're going to hire, and that is the God's honest truth. And so I believe that it probably is the God's honest truth, but whether it is or whether it isn't, it said a lot to me. And it said to me that Arthur Blank has sat with Bill Belichick alone for at least a couple of hours and then in a group for another couple of hours. And in that period of time, the Atlanta Falcons are not convinced that he should be their coach.
Wow.
Could we be in a situation, Peter, where the dust settles and Bill Belichick doesn't have a job? Like teams just decided against him?
It's possible.
Wow.
It's possible. I mean, the musical chairs could stop and he and Pete Carroll could both be unemployed. So I'm going to say two things. I asked a high-ranking club official, I said, I'm incredulous that there's 8 job openings and only one team formally interviewed Bill Belichick. Let me explain one thing to you. I think it's naive to think that Belichick has not talked to any other team. I bet he has.
Yep.
Because another conversation could have been, hey, Bill, just want to know, do you want personnel control? Do you want to run the draft? And I don't even know what he wants. He hasn't said, I don't know. I haven't talked to Bill Belichick since 2006. So if you haven't talked to him in 17 years, it's foolish to say, I know what he's thinking. I have no idea what he's thinking. But my point is that this team is so interested in him, but also interested in others that I don't really know. And to get back to my point, you can talk to somebody without interviewing. Because if Bill Belichick says to someone, yeah, I do want the last word on draft day, then they could say, thank you very much. Listen, good luck. Hope you really find something. You're a great coach, blah, blah, blah. It's not really our style. and then they just move on. So in other words, they never talk to him, but they talk to him.
Right.
So, so that kind of thing happens in the NFL. But I had one club person say to me when I said, isn't it kind of weird that this happened? And he goes, I don't really think it's weird. He said, I'm a little surprised he might not get a job, but here's why it isn't weird. You have a system set up in your team, in your organization, and almost every team in the league right now has 6, 8, 14, you know, modern football analytics people. And so all these teams have these. It isn't that Bill doesn't want to hear about this or anything, but Bill really doesn't care about analytics. And so if your organization has been doing real football research over time and has been intent on, you know, keeping up with the Joneses in that regard and having an analytics department that, whether you use it all the time or not, whether you go for two after you score down 15 or whatever at the end of the game, it's one of these things, quite honestly, that you, if Bill comes in, you're going to have to let 10 or 12 or 14 people go because he doesn't want them. And you as an organization are going to have to do something that you don't believe that you should do, which is step back in time. And I hadn't thought of that, but it makes a lot of sense to me.
Interesting. You are the best, Peter. I did want to ask you before we let you go here, what were your thoughts as the news broke about Sports Illustrated? You were there for a long time. You've won the National Sports Writer of the Year award 3 times. I think those times were with Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
Were you saddened? What were your thoughts on the whole thing as sports? Because, Peter, there was a time where, and kids don't realize this, where that thing showing up in your mailbox once a week, you would sprint to it. And it was an amazing time at a different time. And I'm going to miss Sports Illustrated.
Hey, look, when Tom Brady won Sportsman of the Year in 2005 or 2004, I think it was 2005, his dad and mom were at the event in New York City, and I was there. So Tom gets his award. Everybody congratulates him. It's a nice night. And Tom Brady's dad comes up to me and he said, I want you to understand what this award means to Tommy and to our family. When Tommy was growing up, obviously we got Sports Illustrated, and every Thursday in the fall, he would come in the door and he would immediately look for Sports Illustrated to see if they'd written anything about the 49ers every week when he was growing up. And look, the bottom line in this is there isn't a Sports Illustrated now. There's not, it doesn't exist. If you are going to look back 50 years from now at the Kansas City Buffalo game and you want to read something about that game, What are you going to read? I'm sure that maybe you could find some old internet clip from some site, but there isn't like a body of evidence like the SI Vault to be doing this stuff anymore. And that is the saddest thing of all. We are losing the ability. As one person said, who wrote to me this week, where's the next Frank DeFord? And are we ever going to be able to have one place for great writing? Now, The Athletic, I think, is good. I think The Ringer's good. But you tell me, how long are those places going to be alive? They could be alive for 50 years. I'm not saying they won't be. But,
right.
You know, internet sites, you know, look at Grantland. Grantland was great. All of a sudden, one day, poof, it's gone.
Yep.
You know, but I'm just sad because there are so many people who, you know, there are 3.1 million homes that went into when I was working there. And there was no bigger thrill than opening the mailbox on Thursday and me opening the box thinking, man, I got to see how my cover looks this week. It's just, it's euphoric. It's just a high of highs. And look, that's a selfish thing, but I'm thinking for America, you're really going to miss what was the magazine of record and the best sports magazine of all time.
Well said, and a great spot to end. What I will read 30 years from now, Peter, is Football Morning in America. I will read you. I will.
I can just tell you this. There's a good chance it's not going to be alive in 30 years. But if it is, I do hope you read.
Your columns will live forever, though, sir. So they'll be around forever. Billy, great job doing the dishes. Peter, he did a good job. Billy did a good job.
Very nice. Yeah, yes. Look at him. He's all proud now.
He accomplished something today.
Nice.
this was delightful. Hopefully we'll have a chance to see you in Las Vegas. That would be wonderful.
Sounds great, guys. Would love to.
Well, Mikey A, our wish came true. Peter King was here. Billy was the only one doing dishes.
Only one.
I really thought that we communicated what we were doing, but I guess not, because I thought Mikey would be doing dishes. I thought you would be doing dishes, I guess.
Oh, you had me and Mikey also doing dishes?
I thought we were all going to be washing dishes, but now here I am, the fool.
But you got your dishes done.
Yeah, the big winner here is my wife. Like, right. She gets home and I was working and washing the dishes the whole time.
Happy wife,
that's
happy
life. That's the standard. That's the standard now.
I'm so sorry. But Peter King told some great stories. I don't know if you caught any of them, but he was fantastic.
Yeah.
Stupidity. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. For me, it is simple. What I want out of my light beer is ice cold and great taste, and that's exactly what I get from the original light beer, Miller Lite. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most, a light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.